Businesses with 6 to 50 employees reported the largest increase in their planned hiring for the next 6 months. The Cameron Afshar Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce survey of Lehigh Valley businesses is done on a quarterly basis and collects about 800 observations per year. The Employment and Purchasing Index for the Lehigh Valley highlights the results of these surveys. In January 2016, we conducted our 65th quarterly survey of this series. According to the survey, despite the small dip in the overall confidence in the economy, local businesses increased their expenditure during the last 6 months. Business sentiment, as measured by the overall index, eased down slightly to 63.4 in January, recording its second highest level since before the recession. The highest level was 64.5 back in October of last year. It should be noted that the highest level for the index, 68.5, was reached in April of 2006, and its lowest point was when the index fell to 44.4 in April of 2009. And despite the slight drop in January, the Valley's overall business sentiment trend is continuing to move up steadily, albeit slowly. The index and its long-term trend are moving very close to the range that is historically associated with rapid growth. The only indicator in our model which recorded an increase in January was actual purchases in the last 6 months. This indicator at 66.8 stood 9% above its last January's level and is at its highest level since before the recession. Local businesses have increased their expenditures more in the last 6 months than any time since 2007. Over the last 6 months, 43% of local businesses participating in our survey increased their expenditures while only 8% reduced theirs. The average business participating in our survey increased their expenditures by 2% in the last 6 months. Hiring plans index for the next 6 months is slightly higher than its last January's level and is now very close to the range that is historically associated with rapid growth. And all of this happened despite a significant decline in actual hiring in the last 6 months. Businesses with 6 to 50 employees reported the largest increase in their planned hiring for the next 6 months. Average business participating in the survey is planning to hire one more employee in the next 6 months. Going forward, healthcare and professional and technical businesses are planning to hire more people than others during the next 6 months. Close to a third of local businesses are also planning to hire more people, while only 10% of them plan to lay off employees. The layoff plans are now similar to what they used to be before the Great Recession. In contrast to increased plan for future hiring, the index for actual hiring over the last 6 months dropped by 7%. That somewhat correlates with a drop in total employment in the Valley during the same period. However, despite the dip in January, the index of actual hiring is trending upward as well and is closing to its pre-recessionary levels. Businesses with more than 50 employees reduced their new hiring significantly in the last 6 months, while those with less than 21 employees increased theirs slightly. Average business participating in the survey hired half of an employee over the last 6 months. Manufacturing, transportation, and warehousing and information-related businesses reduced their employment, while healthcare and professional technical businesses increased theirs. Over the last 6 months, close to a third of the local businesses participating in our survey expanded their employment, while 10% reduced theirs. The index for purchasing plans for the next 6 months is in a statistical tie with its last October's level. Despite of that, its trend has almost reached the range that is historically associated with rapid growth. 57% of the businesses participating in our January survey reported increases in their revenues over the last 6 months, while 19% experienced a decline in theirs. Expectations of higher future revenues jumped significantly from only 49% in October to 61% in January. Also, the percent of companies which expect to see lower revenues dropped in January to 14%, down from 21% in October. Based on the results of our January survey, we expect the Valley's economy to go back to its previous slow but steady growth. The slower than expected growth during the fourth quarter of last year appears to be behind us. We expect local employment growth to go back to its healthy pace after its slower than expected performance during the second half of last year. Based on labor pool and projected growth data, we expect to see a measurable increase in local wages in this year. This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse from WDIY.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse from WDIY, and this evening my guests are Dr. Chris Boryak, Professor of Political Science and Director of Muhlenberg's College Institute of Public Opinion. Welcome.
Thanks.
And Jennifer Mann, former state representative and currently president of J.L. Mann Consulting. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thanks, Cameron. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing. This evening, our discussion is about the last survey that we just finished of Lehigh Valley businesses and the results that we have observed, which is very interesting in the sense that it has created a little dip in the confidence. However, in general categories that we have been observing over the long term, all the trends are very close to breakout, but have been there for some times, and we have not seen them go above that level. And what I like to ask you guys is, what are your observations? And Chris, you are involved in public opinion surveys, and what have you seen?
Yeah, it's a great question, Cameron, and I was looking at your numbers, and I think there's a lot of convergence with some of the public attitudes that we've seen over the last few years in our Lehigh Valley survey. So I don't, unlike you, does great work surveying the businesses, we survey a lot of the residents of the Lehigh Valley about their attitudes and perceptions of their of the economy and, mm-hmm. and their views on the direction of the economy and their security and their jobs. And we've seen a pattern over the last 4 years or so of fairly steady increasing confidence in the state of the local economy. The ratings of the local economy have become stronger as we've inched out of the Great Recession. We've seen that concern with becoming unemployed has dropped dramatically over the past few years as the job market has become stronger. And in general, there's a fairly solid upward trend among Lehigh Valley residents over the past few years regarding almost all things economic. That doesn't mean there's not pockets of concern. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that concern is stratified among classes. For example, we see in the Lehigh Valley individuals in lower income strata and minority racial groups showing much more significant concern on a number of economic indicators compared to wealthier, higher educated individuals in the valley. So it's not one valley when it comes to opinion.
Yeah. What about you, Jennifer?
Well, it's interesting to me because I go to what Chris just stated. I think it's who you talk to and what their sense and opinion is regarding the economy. And I think sometimes I ask myself when we see this increase in consumer spending, if some of it is just kind of people having a fatigue of not being optimistic and just deciding, all right, I put off that vacation for 4 years. I'm just going to do it, whether I have the money or not. Or, you know, I've been putting off getting that new car. And this one, I've had this one for 12 years and it's getting up there to 200,000 miles. And maybe it's time to make a change. So I sometimes wonder if there's a bit of people taking action, even though just because they're kind of tired of being down about the economy, than rather than really being confident about it.
And because of your experience and background in politics, considering this is an election year, how do you see that play in terms of public opinion and their expenditures?
Well, I think a lot of what we see overall is people, in times of uncertainty, people tend to not take action, right? That's the kind of let's wait and take that holding pattern and see what happens. I think we saw that a lot is things were going back and forth with the Affordable Health Care Act,
right.
where a lot of interests in health care held back on making decisions and moving things in a certain direction because they didn't know if it was going to be upheld or overturned. So in general, I think people like certainty. There are probably no more uncertain times than an election year, and no more so than when we're talking about federal elections and electing a new president, because whomever it is, whichever party it is, whichever nominees end up being on that ballot, we know it will be somebody new in the White House. So that's about as different a world as we could see politically. So I think there will be a bit of uncertainty and people may be holding back on some big decisions. But I also have to say, coming from state government, that I think we've never seen as uncertain a time in state policy and fiscal policy as we have had now, where we look at a week from yesterday, where a sitting governor will give a budget address for the next fiscal year when there is not even a budget in place for the current fiscal year. So yes, I think politics here is not helping the economy, and the political uncertainty of the budget talks in Harrisburg, and certainly the prospect of a new president, which party will he or she be from, who continues, you know, do we continue to see Republican control of Congress? Those things, I think, are certainly on the minds of the American people, people here in the Lehigh Valley, and certainly people who make large spending decisions for businesses mm-hmm. and hiring decisions.
Right. What about you, Chris? This is something you actually do all these surveys in, and you have very clear and definitive information about it. What do you see in that correlation of politics?
It's a great question. I could only reinforce what Jen just said. Uncertainty, right? As you described in the opening, Cameron, that there seems to be a bit of a plateauing, right? A lot of these fundamentals are good, that you see generally good consumer confidence. You see generally positive views on the overall economy. A lot of the economic indicators are pretty good. But the political uncertainty right now is palpable. Jen, with her experience, has wonderful perspective on this. But the situation in Harrisburg is for businesses, for people perhaps considering moving their business to Pennsylvania or considering expanding here right now, an unbelievable roadblock, right? If I'm a business owner and I'm thinking about what's happening down in the Capitol right now in Pennsylvania, I'm miffed, I'm baffled, I'm thinking this, how, if I seek some degree of certainty, I've got just the opposite, right? The scenario that Jen described as we move into the next fiscal year with unresolved matters from last fiscal years is unprecedented. And that sets a tone, that sets a big tone. You layer in the election year politics of a presidential election with uncertainty on what's coming out of Washington and a lot of the gridlock there, and the political backdrop, the political economy, if you will, nationally and state and regionally right now is pretty mixed.
If I could just jump in as a follow-up to something Chris said, if you are a business looking to expand in Pennsylvania or even locate here, one of the tax, the revenue generators that's been on the table is an increase in sales tax, whether it's an increase in the existing rate and on items that are already subject to the sales tax, yeah, or the introduction of the introduction of new products and services having to pay the sales tax. So if we eliminate some of those exemptions, that affects your business because all of a sudden your costs are going up that 6% or more if simultaneously the rate is raised. That impacts hiring decisions, that impacts purchasing decisions, and it could even, depending on the nature of the business, influence whether or not they want to expand into Pennsylvania from another state, for example.
Actually, that was it's very interesting that we have observed in the last 6 months that participants in the survey showed a drop of 7% in in the index of hiring. And when we get into the detail of it, the smaller firms have actually slightly increased the number of employees they have, but the larger firms have significantly dropped the number of people they were hiring. They've reduced that number, and the impact of it we have observed in the total employment, payroll employment in the Lehigh Valley had declined during the last 6 months of the year. And this observation comes at the time where the rest of the economy is doing well. National economy did fantastic, 2.6 million new jobs. And in our corner of the earth, all of a sudden we see a decline in employment, which is very, very unusual. It's not that we replicate the national level, but we rarely go in the opposite direction. As at the national level, there is an expansion. We see here a contraction in our area, and that's probably what you guys are seeing as well.
Yeah, I think we're an outlier, as you described, at least on some of those indicators. And I, you know, there's making the direct causality is always a challenge. But I'm, as Jen discussed, the uncertainty in the political environment right now, and that could, you know, even get down to the local level with some of the issues that some of our local lawmakers are facing in the key redevelopment areas like Allentown. I think those things create an environment, and the word uncertainties come up over and over again, that if I'm a local business, I'm a business in Pennsylvania right now, and I have a chance to make a decision, I might sit on the sidelines. I might say, and maybe, I don't know, again, you as an economist could speak more to this, the differences between big and small companies. Maybe the small companies, you know, they're constrained. They got to make their moves when they got to make their moves. In other words, while a big company with maybe a little bit more resources, as they view some of these scenarios, say, you know what, let's let the dust settle. We might have the resources to do so. I'm not, you know, it's just a theory I'm throwing out, but it's interesting given the findings that you said.
Well, smaller businesses are more subject to what the demand is, and it's coming at them. And if you have more customers coming, you move out. Larger businesses are more likely to have plans. So that all of those factors come in more into the play than smaller businesses saying, well, we have three more people coming to the door, so we need somebody to serve them. So for time being, that's it. But again, that obviously affects planning in a very, very significant way. Okay. One of the interesting part also about this is that we have been very close to the breakout over the last 9 months, a whole year probably. And the index has been riding very close to that. And we have two other occasions in historically right after recessions that the index broke out and went really up and employment expanded. And despite of all of these numbers, initial unemployment claims in Lehigh Valley, which is an indication of layoffs, is as low as it has been during the tight labor markets that we experienced during before the Great Recession and late 1990s. So we are looking at that, and the labor pool is a lot smaller than it was before, and it is also getting close to those points. But still, we don't see wages going up. Historically, in this situation, wages has always gone up. Jennifer, what do you see there?
Well, I think it goes back to uncertainty, and I think that businesses are looking to keep expenditures down. I think another factor with unemployment, when people lose a job and can't replace, they can get another job, but they can't replace the income they were earning. A lot of folks are opting to leave the market, and I think that's the reality. Is we do see a reduction in jobs that pay at a certain level. I know you and I have spent quite a bit talking about earnings in real dollars over the last several decades, and how that really hasn't risen. And that has to be a frustration among workers in the Lehigh Valley, across Pennsylvania, and across the country, that I might be doing job X and it pays Y. But 20 years ago, job X maybe even paid more than Y. Maybe it was Y plus one. So that is a very difficult reality, and I think that is something that really holds us back on growing the economy when we have a large portion of the workforce doesn't have that opportunity to advance in a job. A lot of these positions really don't provide opportunity for advancement, and I'm saying a lot of jobs in the service industry, retail, and so forth, those lower-skilled jobs have less mobility. But those salary increases or wage increases aren't coming along like they used to.
Yeah.
And that makes people really either, A, they opt not to enter the workforce or re-enter, I should say, after losing a job. And again, really weighs heavily on their ability to spend money.
Just a follow-up, and maybe on the political economy angle, I think what you're seeing, and we've seen this in some of our polls, is that there's a perception, right? You know, even on some of the indicators, traditional economic indicators, confidence, spending, a lot of the things we ask local residents about, there are positive signs. On the income levels, again, the satisfaction with income, we see much flatter levels of public reaction. And that, you know, talk about the brooding sentiment that's out there in the electorate right now, and a lot of the populist messages on both the Democratic and Republican side in national politics right now. And it's absolutely playing on that, right? The idea that, some of the big indicators look okay, everything seems on traditional measures to be positive, but when it gets down to my job or my income levels, the plateauing is taking a toll.
Yeah, that is it's very interesting that the way we are looking also at the industries that are expanding versus those who are contracting, for example, manufacturing is really losing numbers in the valley. And one which is rapidly expanding, of course, as everybody knows, is healthcare. But we'll pick that up in our second segment of this program. This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse from WDIY.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse from WDIY. This evening, my guests are Dr. Chris Boryak from Muhlenberg College and Jennifer Mann, former state representative. We were talking about the economy of the Lehigh Valley and basically nationwide. And one of the interesting things that I observed is that we have gone through a variety of change in mode of production. And obviously, after each recession, we see a much larger change because of recessions force businesses to go through a change in the way they do business. However, one of it is because of technology, and many of these changes come due to technology, is the fact that we do a lot of our shopping on the internet. And it is so much easier, particularly if we know what the product is and we can look at it and order it. And because the returns are so easy, it's not a major problem. Part of this trend is a reversal of what we have observed over the last 15, 20 years, which were mega stores coming in and wiping out moms and pop stores and taking over and becoming larger. And you walk in this almost stadium size building, and there are all kinds of different products there. And once in a while, maybe an employee could be caught, and so that they would try to answer you, and they basically turn on their computers and read something which is in the computer to you. But with the decade-old approach to internet shopping, if you need to read the description on the computer and look at the picture, you don't need to drive to a megastore and purchase there. You can do it on the net. And this is one of the events that are now we are observing as they're happening. Some of the megastores are starting to close up. And this opportunity for moms and pop stores to come back, in the sense that that which is missing in the megastore is not the product. Not having all those products is not a big deal. What moms and pop stores didn't have were a variety of stores, hundreds of different versions of the same thing, which megastores brought in. But now on the internet, there are thousands. So they beat the megastores in the sense of variety. What is missing was service. Moms and pops always had services. And this is where we see the process going. And Chris, you were talking during the break about your observations.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating, right? And we do see these trends and the shifts, and we also see generational preferences, right? As we, especially the millennials and Gen Xers, become the dominant form of the consumer market, right? What their preferences are too, and the presence of online marketplaces has defined so much of the economics, and as you said, it's put some pressure on the traditional brick and mortar big boxes, which became so popular, and have opened up an avenue for some small time businesses to flourish. I was talking during the break with you and Jen. I live in Nazareth, right on Main Street, and the idea of being able to walk, right, being able to walk to a play. I'll give an example. I'm a runner, and so the idea, there's a wonderful runner's shop right on Main Street, with incredible service, great attitude, and walking distance. Perhaps the prices are slightly more, but I'll choose it every time because I love the experience. I love the experience, the chance to discuss with the staff that, as you said, you're unlikely to get in a big box store. And I think it's part of the overall quality of life that I think you'll see, especially among millennials. I think you see the demand. They'll shop online, of course, but they also want those experiences. So I think it's something that we're seeing probably in the Lehigh Valley, and it's going to be an interesting trend to follow.
I would follow up where I think making a purchase is more than the transaction, right? It is about anticipation. There's something you want. Maybe it's a necessity. So you go online and you order from Staples because you need some packaging tape. But then there's an item that maybe it's a handbag, or it's a new sport coat, or whatever, a new pair of shoes. It's that anticipation and the experience. And it's oftentimes something we share with somebody else. We look forward to those days to go shopping, whether it's a parent and a child, or siblings, or best friends. And I think that is definitely a quality of life issue, but it's more than just the transaction. Mm-hmm. And I know there have been studies, and Chris would have to back me up if he's ever done one along these lines, but it is said, then I've seen studies that say this, that a lot of times when the pleasure of something is more the anticipation of it than the actual occurrence or event itself. So sometimes it's looking forward to making that purchase, going out and having that experience of part of your day to do it. It's much more gratifying than sitting at home in front of your computer or on your smartphone, making a few clicks, and like magic, it's on your doorstep in a couple of days. So I do think that, and I think it is continuing to evolve, this balance between the internet, which is the super big box, well, which really has no walls, the big box stores, and really those smaller independently owned stores that we see pop up on main streets across the Lehigh Valley. I think it continues to be a balance. I caught something on the news this morning where Amazon announced they were going to open up a bunch of small stores because they have a problem handling returns. It's become, they can process an order, they can get it to you quickly, look out for the drones. But but if you want to get it back to us, that slows down their ability. They're making money going out the door, not coming back in the door. So they've got to come up with a way to expedite the return process and to obviously reduce their costs in doing so, making that more efficient. So I think we will continue to observe that, and there are opportunities on all sides. I will say that the other area I think this influences heavily is commercial real estate. Because if the big box is not the wave of the future, and then we really kind of rethink of what we've built. You think of these big box being anchors to a lot of shopping centers and malls. So I'll throw that out there as well, because to some degree, I think some of those big box stores are relying more and more on internet sales. So we could potentially see a lot of very large buildings vacant in the commercial real estate sector.
Yeah, that is definitely very possible. The big box stores also, in many occasions, recognize that other than the ones who are closing and are on all the national news. But the notion that the difference in all of this is that service, which is, as Jennifer, you were mentioning it. So clearly people like to have a contact with a human being. And also sometimes we don't really know what that product is. And that's where you're going to your, Chris, to your runner store, because the person who is selling that does that for a living, has experience in it, can help in discussion, which is so different from reading these reviews, which you have no idea how many of them are paid, how many are real, how many is a human being or a machine is writing that. So, but when you talk with a person, you don't have any doubt at that point, you know, the person is standing there.
Such a great point. And Jen's point, too, is about the experience, right? So let's think of something about buying shoes, running shoes, right? I just don't want to take a chance of buying it first online because of it's a feel, right? You have to feel, you got to walk around and you got to talk a little bit with the folks out. Is it pronating the right way? How's it looking? And just the whole experience. And for example, it's the small things of the experience. I could bring my dog. Walk my dog down the street and the dog can go in the shop, right? You know, that's not an experience you're going to get in most big box stores.
Right.
And, you know, they'll have a dog biscuit there and you'll talk for a while. And they may have the supplemental activities, the complementary activities of you could take a run on Thursday night with the group, right, that shop at that store. So there's this buy-in, this ownership, right, part of the community. And again, looking at research, especially for millennials, they really value that. That's part of their kind of picture of how they see themselves engaging in commerce in a lot of ways.
Well, I think we've seen that with residential housing development in downtown Allentown, right? The millennials like this experience of being able to live where they work. They want to be able to walk, ride a bike. They want to be able to go stop for their morning coffee, grab lunch, do a little shopping, go out for dinner, go out for drinks, go out for coffee, and do that all within a walking radius. Yes. And I do think they value that more so than the generations before them, and they're much less interested in suburbia and the commute. They're much more practical and perhaps maybe even a little bit more environmentally conscious and right. not wanting to be wasteful.
Yeah, I think about car ownership, right? I mean, right. you talk to a lot of my students right now, the idea, well, yeah, if I live downtown, I'll just use a zip car, for example, right? Why should I buy into a car? I'll get a zip car or one of the other packages and use it when I have to, right? I won't have to worry about parking.
Or Uber.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, you know, that's for as much as they're going to need a car.
Yeah, get the ride.
Yeah, and the concept, particularly for downtown Allentown and the expansion that it's happening, the biggest unknown in the whole process is that residential section. Because if that doesn't come out, so many studies show that if you don't have residential section going with that, and after 6 o'clock the place becomes, nobody will be there, all these restaurants and stuff that are now thriving may not continue to do so because it is that residential presence that makes the place safe, make it somewhere people want to come. And people go walk downstairs and there are all these restaurants. You're likely to just hop in one, just have a coffee because of all the people who are around. My daughter lives in New York, and every time we go visit her, just coming down from her apartment, there are all these restaurants and places to go. And even when you want to go somewhere, you're bound to go to one of these because it's so interesting. So, okay, if we have time, we can visit one of these places. And that's the way business develops. But it requires that residential section with it. And many of these plans that I look at, there's so much emphasis on the commercial section because that's the most profitable part of it, but not as much on the residential. And I hope that Allentown will have a lot more on the residential because I really love to see this thing continue to expand rather than just be a little set of new buildings and that's all.
I think the irony is, In the model of Allentown and its transformation, is there's so much talk about PPL Center and, you know, Chickies and Pete's and a Starbucks. But the reality is the anchor is residential. Yeah. If you can't get people to move and want to live down there, then this is going to be just another exercise well-intended, but it's not going to be successful. The first apartment project that was done, Strata, virtually is sold out. And what they're finding is the biggest demand is for two-bedroom apartments. So the Strata 2 that's now being built and the bigger project back at 7th and Hamilton is going to include a lot of two-story apartments. Why is that? I think a lot of it is it's people thinking beyond being a single young person and thinking maybe even like a young child. But I think a lot of it is you've got kids taking on roommates, much mm-hmm. like you see in Manhattan where rents right. are just so unattainable yes. financially that younger people have no choice but to team up. And I think you're seeing a lot of that. But there's a great demand downtown for residential. The first endeavor has been a huge success. But without a doubt, that ultimately is, as I would agree with you, and Chris, I'd love to hear your opinion, but that ultimately will be what solidifies what has happened so far.
Oh, yeah. All the planning and public policy documentation supports what you both just said about the critical nature of the residential component of redevelopment, right? And for a place like Allentown, every time I'm downtown on 7th and in that area where the apartments have been put in, that's the first thing I'm looking at. I'm thinking, are they filling up? And, you know, hearing the results, I think that's crucial. And you have the different layers of people that might come in, as Jen said nicely, right? You get young folks that want to have their apartment down there because that's what they value. They value that environment and what all the recreational and shopping options that are expanding there. And then perhaps in addition to the roommate scenarios, all couples that are on the perhaps empty nesters, right? You know, mm-hmm. someone that's that's starting to head down the road to those directions, you look for those. I value, you know, someone that's older, they value those opportunities to be in walking distance of so many things. And maybe some of those apartments hit those niche markets, right, that the person in suburbia might say, you know what, I'm not going to miss my lawn or the shoveling anymore, and I'd love to be able to walk to great restaurants, great shops, recreational activities at the PP&L Center. That's very attractive, right? And again, it's crucial to make sure once that critical mass hits that you have in urban areas, obviously New York, Philly, which is center city Philadelphia, which has an enormous population, I think is seeing the benefits of that, right? That's an attractive place to go to right now.
Just as a quick aside, in the last year, I moved. Don't worry, I didn't move outside the city of Allentown. But the folks I bought my home from, just that, now both retired and decided they didn't want or need this big home and all the property that comes with it. And guess where they moved? They moved downtown Allentown.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that is happening. It certainly is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great thing. I surely hope that this will continue to go on because it is vital to the region for this this experiment to be successful and will create a lot of potential for other downtowns to copy that model. Okay, we got to the end of our second segment. This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse from WDIY.
For program support of WDIY, we thank Lehigh County, Northampton County, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Good evening. This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse from WDIY. My guests this evening are Dr. Chris Boryak from Muhlenberg College and Jennifer Mann, former state representative. Jennifer, we were talking during the break about the development of Allentown, and you had ideas.
Well, you know, I think having grown up here in the Lehigh Valley and specifically in the city of Allentown, you think about how for so long there was this focus on building or rebuilding retail opportunities in our downtowns. But if we look at now, Bethlehem has probably been the most stable of the cities in that regard throughout my lifetime. But Easton has come on strong. They've done a wonderful job down there. Kudos to Mayor Panto. Just really doing very, very well. Allentown was probably the last to that game, but it's been on such a large scale. It's been very, very significant and very positive, and I think we'll continue to move in that direction. But when we think of all the opportunities that are out there, if you live in the Lehigh Valley, from restaurants and retail and entertainment, things that weren't here 15 years ago that are here now, and those are all the things we hear prospective businesses who were tried to attract to our region. We hear them say, we're not here, but we've built them, and they are here. It makes it easier for us to retain companies, employers, and to attract them. The challenge, of course, is on that retention side, and it has a lot to do with a skilled workforce. And goes to something you had mentioned just quickly in the break about how important education is. We could have all of these things, all of these great assets to us and as far as quality of life. And I think about, you know, from parks and again, PPL Center, and we've got the State Theater, and you've got little theaters like Civic Theater and what they do at Banana Factory, Iron Pigs, Phantoms, the soccer team coming on. We have so much here and so much more than we did in the past. But if we don't have workers with the skill sets employers are looking for, they're going to go somewhere else. Or if they can't continue to feed that workforce that is aging with the same skill sets, they may leave.
And I think that's absolutely right. And you would know this well from the research you do, that often when you talk to employers and they list their greatest concerns and needs, it's often a trained workforce, right? Having the access to employees becomes an enormous hurdle for them if they are considering expansion, even maintaining some longstanding activities. It's just it becomes the priority in a lot of cases. And I think that's Jen's absolutely right to be attentive to that in the area. And as we look at quality of life is good, because on a lot of the other indicators that we've strived for, I've been over here 16 years in the Valley, grew up in Scranton, had some knowledge of the Lehigh Valley, but just seeing the changes in 16 years, when we have prospective employees come into the college, right, when people are looking at the area, it used to be, okay, maybe we take them if they want a downtown scene over to Bethlehem and walk down Main Street if they're, but now, you know, first thing we'll do is take them to downtown Allentown, or they'll stay in downtown Allentown during their visit, or we'll mm-hmm. go over to some of the restaurants in Easton. It's a completely different urban environment than it was 5 years ago, definitely 10 years ago or 15 years ago. We see that in our quality of life polls. When we ask individuals about quality of life and their perceptions of the Lehigh Valley empirically, while you see a lot of skepticism about the direction of the country, you see skepticism about the state of affairs in the Commonwealth. But when we've asked in the last few years, do they think the Lehigh Valley's headed in the right direction? A majority say yes, which is an interesting comparison to have. And yes. I think it's borne out by a lot of the things we're seeing here. But the challenge is still very real that we've talked about today.
Of course, the labor force and its training in this environment, that it's the technology is changing so rapidly, being able to even catch up with it, let alone get ahead of it, is absolutely necessary for the ability of the Valley to be viable as we are going forward. And many of the initiatives, as we were talking during the break, the issues also are the unintended consequences, that if you are building one place, it should not be to the detriment of areas which are just neighboring that region. And these are things that planners should consider in the process. And like any plan, the second you start something, all of that goes out of the window. So as you see events happening, changing in that, to amend the process, to make sure that the expansion of one region is not at the expense of the neighboring areas going down. Those are the factors that will help the region as a whole rather than just one spot. Although I'm 100% for this concept of developing downtown, our three downtowns, and they're very, very helpful economically for the economic development of the region. And you are, Chris, absolutely right that now you can bring in prospective investors in the Valley and show them just there. It is such an interesting.
And to keep our youngest and most talented individuals. We have amazing resources in the university systems here at Lehigh and Lafayette, of course, Muhlenberg and Moravian, all the sales. I don't want to skip anybody and get in trouble. But an amazing group of colleges and universities with talented young folks. And where do they want to go? I mean, every piece of evidence we see right now, where do a lot of our students at Muhlenberg, and I know this from working occasionally at Lehigh also, where do they go right after graduation? If they don't stay downtown here, they go to New York, Hackensack, Jersey City. Those places have become the popular destinations. Areas of Philadelphia, from Conshohocken down to East Falls, Manayunk, right? Those are the places that they want. They want to be in those places. And if we're going to retain talented young people to the Valley, our urban cores are going to be essential for that.
And I think, interestingly, because Chris has touched upon the wonderful, outstanding institutions of higher education we have here, and in addition to that, we have two wonderful community colleges in Lehigh Carbon and Northampton. And not every community, there are 13 community colleges in Pennsylvania. We have two of them right here, and they're outstanding. We are very fortunate because that creates a more affordable option for students who just can't afford the likes of a Muhlenberg or Lehigh. I also would go a step further and say one of the things there's a shortage of right now in the Lehigh Valley, ask a manufacturer. You mentioned earlier, Cameron, about how manufacturing jobs are shrinking. Part of that is even when an owner wants to keep that operation going in the community, if they can't, if he or she can't find the proper skilled workforce or worker, they don't have much of an option. Welders. There's a shortage of welders. We have two great career and technical institutes associated with Lehigh and Northampton County. Those are jobs you can't send overseas, and they are in demand. It is sometimes difficult to help parents and the student understand that this, that not everybody should nor needs to go to a four-year academic program in higher education. Some people, they're making wonderful, very sustainable living wage, and they've got a skill set that they learned in high school, and it was free. And I think we need to do a better job promoting those institutes because they have their real skills and skills that are in demand. But again, sometimes frowned upon, even if not by the student, sometimes by the parent, because they feel that their child's settling or isn't, you know, they have this in their mind, they've got to go to a four-year college. So I think we need to continue to promote and better utilize those other educational institutions and opportunities and not merely and solely focus on those four-year college institutions. So we've got to really make sure we're keeping everything in the mix and work with current employers and work with prospective employers. Those organizations can more easily adapt programs to needs and demand, and they do that. We need to continue to support that.
Sure. The labor force, of course, in the Lehigh Valley has been expanding over. Currently, there are 8,000 more people working in the Valley than they did before the Great Recession. But despite of that, not everybody who wants to find a job can. A lot of jobs actually go away. This is part of life. And recessions expedite that process, make more jobs disappear and would never come back. The process that I encountered, a lot of people talk with me about this, that you're saying all these people are employed, but I'm looking for a job and haven't found one for the last 5 years. And that is very real. There are jobs that in that category that are so rare or few that it's very, very hard to find a job. It is the process of retraining, and we are so much more used to that if it was in a manufacturing environment and saying, okay, in Bethlehem Steel, we went through this to that other operation. Okay, let's retrain for that. But that applies to every aspect now that that we are doing. Things are changing so much. I have an example that was very humbling. This is a lot of years ago. We were doing a study for a client of mine, and we were talking about what to do. And somebody said, why don't we ask people if they want to use their telephones for smartphones for doing their business with the company? And I was thinking that, well, they don't have time to get to your laptop or desktop to do it. And the other gentleman who was also similar to my age said, yeah, but let's put it in the questionnaire, see what happens. And I remember when the result came, I called him and said, you know what, we are really old. Said, what do you mean? All the people below 40 were saying, yes, absolutely, they use it. And a little bit more, they were saying, okay, maybe. And it got to our age. Yeah, people say, yeah.
Very true. And as someone like you that does a lot of research, it's amazing when you ask questions to a variety of populations how often you are surprised. Right?
That's what you do day in, day out.
That's what research is for. And I think it's you know, as I said before, if you're asking businesses, if they're talking to you're talking to them and tying it back to what you said, Jen, for policymakers and those in government trying to align those resources, right? Understand what businesses need, understanding what resources we have locally to deliver training, to deliver education to an economy that changes so quickly and so especially technologically driven, right? And I go back to millennials. Millennials are fascinating to study and fascinating to look at. And they describe themselves. If you ask millennials, what's the one word that describes them? Technology. That's the number one term they use to describe. So, of course, it's going to have an effect on everything that we look at, from training to education to policy.
I can recall when my brother-in-law got a BlackBerry. And if you remember them, it almost, the screen looked like a DOS screen of days gone by. And it was big and clunky. And I said, what the heck is that? And he said, oh, it's this device. It's called a BlackBerry. A what? Well, whatever. We're still saying a BlackBerry, a what? But for different reasons today. But I said, well, what are you supposed to do with it? He said, well, you can get your email on here. I said, well, would you need to get your email on that? You've got your computer. I said, why would you take the time to want to type out a message or an email on that little keypad? And, you know, here we are today, couldn't live without it. It's a major commitment. I feel like I'm married to my iPhone because I'm never away from it, and we're so now dependent we couldn't imagine life without it. And that's in a relatively short period of time. And I think of one other example. I have a cousin that's probably maybe 6-7 years younger than I am, and he doesn't own a checkbook. There's no such thing. Everything is an electronic transaction. And I had gotten tickets for something, and he asked me, well, do you have a PayPal account? What? No, I don't have a PayPal account. He said, oh, well, I'll get the bank to send you a check. It's just a whole different way, and it's not that big a difference in years, but it's eons in process and way of doing things. And I think your example of that company that you did that work for is really, really captures that difference and where we're going.
The economy is changing faster than ever before, and obviously technologically driven. But there are all these other aspects of it. And as they also, like any more affluent economy, more emphasis on arts, more emphasis on services, are coming about, and as people become wealthier, then they demand more of that, and this is part of what we see as part of economic development as it's happening. More interest in art galleries, more interest in higher end restaurants, and that's where we are going. To round it up, as I'm seeing the numbers, the time remaining is low. Basically, rounding up what we have discussed this evening has been about the Lehigh Valley's economy and where it is going. And it is, while it is expanding, there is some apprehension that's coming right now, and that is preventing it from breaking out and getting into a rapid growth. However, what we are seeing still is within the area that we can see continuous growth, albeit at a slow pace. But it has been this way for about a year or so, and has not been bad. I want to thank my guests, Dr. Chris Boryak from Muhlenberg and Jennifer Ma, former state representative. And this is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse on WDIY.